Good evening, everyone. This is the Pacifica Radio Audit Committee call for Tuesday, October 27, 2015. Brenda Medina, Chair of the Audit, and William Herwagen, the Secretary of the Committee. So if Mr. Secretary, you could call the roll, that'd be great.
Thank you. Virginia Browning.
Here.
Jose Luis Fuentes.
Present.
Thank you. Donald Goldmacher. Someone said he was excused or requested excused. Chuck Anderson. Don't hear anything. Fred Blair.
Present.
Thank you. Brenda Medina.
Present.
Just present. Lawrence Reyes.
Present.
Thank you. Maria Elena Castellanos.
Castellanos is present. Thank you.
Robert Mark.
Present.
Nancy Saibara Naratomi.
Present.
Carolyn Burden. I don't hear anything. Stephen Brown. I don't hear anything. Stephen Brown.
In attendance.
In attendance. We'll take that as present. William Herwagen, I'm present. Frank LeFevre.
Presente.
Jane Gatewood. Brenda said she requested an excuse. Well, she wouldn't be here. Thomas Rainey. Don't hear anything. Peter Tucker.
Present.
Okay. We have quorum. Thank you.
Okay, wonderful. And then also on the call we have Grant Long with Armenino.
Hi, everyone.
Awesome. So we're going to do a couple of things to get the audit committee going. The first thing is we do have two folks that requested excused absences, but since there's no need to approve excused absences on the committee, we'll go ahead and forego that. Next on the committee agenda, and this is just a carryover from the previous month's agenda, with only adding Mr. Lamb's report on the FY14 audit status. And I'm trying to pull it up, so give me 1 second. We also have minutes approval from the previous meeting, both of August, September, August and September. And then September 14th and also September 22nd. Would anybody like to move to approve these minutes? Anyone? Not all at once.
This is Nancy. So we cannot add anything to the agenda?
No, we can. Well, I'm sorry. I skipped over the approval of the agenda. I apologize. So we have the approval of the we have the roll call that we already completed, the approval of the agenda, approval of minutes. New business would be Mr. Lamb's report, our next meeting, and adjourn. Nancy, is there something that you would like to ask?
Yes, I'd like to put on the agenda about following the recommendations of Armenino to have people with financial backgrounds on the audit committee to discuss that point, or to have the help of people with financial backgrounds. So.
Okay. I'll go ahead and add that.
You can put it last after all that.
That's just cool.
Okay.
Well, that's just cool to use.
Excuse me? Lawrence, I didn't get an understand you. Could you repeat yourself?
This is Jose Luis.
Okay. Go ahead.
I might have missed this, but is there a status on the current audit on that agenda?
Yeah. Yes. We do have... give me 1 second. Sorry, my computer's going very slow.
Brenda, I assume that would be included in Grant Lamb's report.
That is correct. Thank you. So we have
Robert Stack.
Okay, give me 1 second so I can add the new agenda items. So status of the audit by Armenino, and then the second thing, recommendations of people with financial backgrounds. And then, go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, I would like to move that since Mr. Lamb is on the phone, we move his report up to the next item of business on the agenda.
Okay. After the approval of the agenda, is what you're requesting?
Correct. Yeah, correct.
Okay. Is there anything else?
Chair, Madam Chair, this is Lawrence. I'd like to move to the minutes of September.
So right now we're on the approval of the agenda, and then we have some suggestions of changing the agenda around. So I'll go ahead and read it prior to approval of the agenda. But is there any other item that folks would like to add to the agenda? All right, hearing none, what do you really like to move to approve the agenda? Oh, so the agenda is as follows. Call to order, roll call, the approval of the agenda, the status of the audit by Armenino. After that would be approval of minutes, and we would go into new business with one item being recommendations of the audit with regards to people with financial backgrounds. Have discuss our next meeting date and then adjourn. Would anybody like to move to approve the agenda as amended?
I move to approve the agenda as amended.
Thank you, Nancy. Any objections? Okay, hearing none. I'll go ahead and hand it over to Mr. Grantman. Thank you so much for being on the call. And if you can proceed to kind of give us an update on what's been going on.
Sure. Thank you, Brenda. Thank you to the members of the audit committee for having me on the call. My name is Grant Lamb. I'm a partner at Armenino. I will be serving as engagement partner on Pacifica's 2014 audit. So as I understand, I will be tonight discussing the scope of the audit, the planning, timing of the audit, discussing status with where things are at with respect to 2014. So before we discuss the planning and timing, I would like to remind the audit committee regarding our responsibility with respect to the audit process. So our responsibility as your independent auditors is to conduct our audit to express an opinion on the financial statements of the organization. Pacifica's financial statements are prepared by management, and it's the responsibility of management to prepare the financial statements. And those financial statements are prepared under the oversight of the audit committee. Again, our responsibility is to conduct our audit to express an opinion on the financial statements. Okay, we do confirm to the audit committee that we are independent within the meaning of Rule 101 of the AICPA. We Now, as far as the deliverables that we will provide to the organization as part of our audit, we will provide our opinion on the financial statements of the organization. An unmodified audit opinion is a clean audit opinion. If we anticipate issuing any opinion other than the clean, unmodified opinion, we will notify management and the audit committee in advance. There are typically two or three management-type letters that we will issue at the conclusion of the audit. The first letter is a required communications letter, and that letter is issued for the reason that there are certain communications that we as your auditors are required to communicate to those charged with governance, in this case, the audit committee. So we will issue a required communications letter. The second letter, which we will issue, is a letter communicating any significant deficiencies or material weaknesses. So if everyone recalls, we had a call last year to go over a number of material weaknesses and significant deficiencies that we identified during the audit process. So if we come across any such findings during the current year, we will communicate those to management and to the audit committee. Okay, so with respect to status of the audit, we have not yet started audit field work. At this point, the only testing or audit process that we've started is we provided Efren with our sample selections for revenues and expense testing. Efren and the station manager are in the process of pulling that support for us to begin testing. We have not yet scheduled a definitive date or week for our team to come on site to start the audit. We are holding back on scheduling that firm date until we have assurance from Efren and the accounting team that all accounts are properly reconciled and all supporting schedules are ready for us to be ready for us to examine. One of the issues that we've come across in the previous two audits was that we were asked to start the audit when the organization hadn't yet finalized the trial balance and all accounts weren't properly reconciled, and that led to a very inefficient audit process. So what I recommended to Efren and team for this year is that before we bring the full team on site to start the audit, that I would meet with Efren and the accounting team to perform a preliminary check of the accounting records to ascertain whether or not the organization is truly ready to be audited. And at that point, we will schedule a team to come on site to conduct the audit. But it doesn't make sense to roll out a team now to start the audit if the accounts aren't fully reconciled. And when I spoke with Efren and John about a month ago, Efren had communicated that the accounts are close, that they're close to being ready, and they're close to being ready for us to be audited. But I would like to recommend that I come out and perform a preliminary check to determine whether or not the team really is ready to come on site to perform the audit. Last year, the previous 2 years, as a matter of fact, it wasn't the most efficient audit process. There was a lot of going back and forth with us receiving schedules. The schedules weren't ready to be audited. We sent the schedules back, so a lot of going back and forth. And the ideal situation, which I would like to try and achieve this year, is really have the organization ready, trial balances finalized, financial statements ready, supporting schedules are ready for us to look at. We would come on site and complete the majority of the testing in about 2 weeks or so. So we're not at that point yet. I'll continue to work with FN management to gauge audit readiness, and at that point we'll communicate to the audit committee once we start final field work.
Great. Thank you, Graham. So are you going to go ahead and say something else?
No, I'll say, so we have provided our engagement letters for the audit and tax work to John and Efren. We met with John and Efren about a month ago to go over the engagement letters as well as to discuss audit planning and to determine when we would be ready to come on site to perform the audit. And that's where we are at today.
Okay, Jose Luis for the stack.
Okay, I'll go ahead and take the stack real quick and then for any particular questions for Mr. Lam. Okay, Mr. Luis, and then
Pete for the stack.
Pete, for the folks. Okay. So we'll go ahead and take calls, I believe.
Okay. That's super. Thank you for your report. And I want to know a couple of things. One is, when do you actually recommend being on site talking with Efren and looking at the state of the books? And two is, what do you need from the audit committee if there's no if there is no signature of the by when do you need the signature of the commitment letter, as well as when do you recommend being out there? I'm very concerned that this stalling tactics, and it's not stalling tactics, it's just, yes, it's been a month now and they haven't got back to you, so I want to make sure that this audit gets started. If there's problems, we need to know about it from you so we can address them.
Absolutely. And you know, when do I recommend us starting the audit? And we're ready to start the audit when the organization is ready for us to come on site. So you know, we would have liked to start the audit sooner. I know there's been other issues at play that hasn't enabled Efren to focus all of his efforts on preparing for the audit. There's a lot of work to do. I mean, if you recall last year, we had a lengthy audit findings letter, and I don't think a lot of those findings haven't been remediated in the current year. So the accounting and finance fund still has a lot of work to do. I know Efren's working hard to have the accounts ready for us to be audited. So you know, when do I recommend it? You know, as soon as Efren can get the books ready, we can bring a team out there. And we would need the engagement letter signed before we start the audit. And we started some preliminary procedures as a courtesy to Efren. We've made sample selections for our revenue and expense testing, but we would need the signed letter before we commit to bring a full team on site for the testing.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. It's not the full team, but you, the preliminary part is what I'm...
Well, I can still go on site. I mean, it's just me probably meeting with Efren for an hour or two, going over the account and going over the status of the organization's accounting records. I can go on and do that once Efren thinks that they're ready for me.
Okay. That point of information.
Brenda, Fred to the stack.
Fred, you'll be added to the stack. Hopefully, are you?
Do we have Efren on the call?
No, we do not have Efren on the call. We were not instructed to have Efren on the call for this one. I could definitely relay the information based on the notes that I'm taking from this call to ensure that that information is sent over to him.
Yep.
But he was not invited to the call this evening since the committee did not request it. Okay. And then I have Fred. Go ahead,
Jenny. I'm going to hold off my question. I just want to make one quick comment, though, Brenda.
I'm sorry. Give me 1 second. Folks, can we make sure that we put ourselves on mute, either #1 or the mute button on your cell phone or your landline? Okay.
Yeah, I just quickly wanted to make a comment, and that is, Grant, I appreciate having you back in the mix, and, you know, we're 5 community radio stations, and having this audit completed and professionally done, as you have done in the past, be huge, and potentially freeing up the CPU money, allowing, you know, us to do important community radio. And I know you know all that, and I know... it's not necessarily easy working with Pacifica, but I just want to say thanks. Hang in there. I look forward to working with you and moving forward this process.
I appreciate that comment. Thanks. You know, to be honest, Pacifica isn't the easiest organization to work with, but I care about all my nonprofit organizations that I work with, and I truly want to see the organization turn things around. and have a brighter future. There's a lot of work to do. We identified a number of findings and comments from the prior year audit, and I really want to see Pacific Attorney staying around and have a better financial position. So whatever I can do to help, more than happy to help in the process.
Thanks.
Cool. Thanks, Pete. And thanks, Brent. I'll go ahead and have Fred. Is there anybody else who would like to be on the stack?
Nancy.
Yeah, William.
Nancy would like to be on
set. Okay, I got Nancy and then William.
William was before me.
Okay, got it.
Ken Robert.
And Lawrence. And Lawrence, please.
Okay. Robert and Matt. All right, Seth, go ahead.
Okay, I have the floor. So, Grant, my understanding is that the engagement letter has not been signed by Pacifica so far. And second question is, and for a nonprofit, who normally signs the engagement letter? Is it the audit committee chair or the executive director?
So the audit committee has the responsibility of appointing the auditor, so either the audit committee chair can sign the letter, or the executive director or management can sign on behalf of the audit committee.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion that the audit committee request that our chair sign the engagement letter to get the 2014 audit in motion.
Okay.
That's it.
Audience.
Okay.
It doesn't require a second, but I'm just making the motion that we instruct our chair to sign the engagement letter on behalf of Pacifica and get that legal part of the process going.
Point of order.
Is that Jose?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jose Luis. Point of order.
Go ahead.
If by chair you mean the PMB chair / interim executive director,
no.
I would agree with this. Please don't interrupt me. If by chair you mean the audit committee chair, that would be illegal for a committee to put in debt Pacifica. They have no authority under the bylaws to do so.
Point of information. My understanding is the audit committee is a special standing committee of the PNB, and last year I signed on behalf of Pacifica for the 2013 audit.
That's it. Okay, so we have the motion on the floor. Folks are more than welcome to make any amendments before we head back to the staff. Would anybody like to amend or...
Jose Luis Fuentes here.
Okay, go ahead.
I have a substitute motion that the audit committee recommend to the PMB that the interim executive director sign immediately the commitment letter to conduct the audit.
Okay. And then is there... Go ahead, Lawrence.
So I believe, is it true that the first, that the substitute motion has to be put on first?
That's correct. Either approving or voting down the substitute, and then if it does get approved, then it becomes the main motion, and then we would vote on the main motion. If not, then the original motion stands and would have to be approved or not approved. And I'll go ahead and read from what I have. But if folks can email that over, either to myself or to William, that would be great so we can make sure that we put it in the minutes. So the original motion by Mr. Blair states that the audit that it's recommended that the audit committee chair sign the engagement letter immediately. I didn't catch all of that. And if I misspoke, then Ms. Reddy can send the clarified language through email. The substitute by Mr. Fuentes is that the audit committee recommends that the IED immediately sign the audit engagement letter. Did I misstate any of those two motions from the makers? Hearing nothing? Okay, then we'll go ahead and deal with the substitute motion first. So, is there any objection to the... Well, actually, we should go ahead and do a roll call vote for the substitute, and then based off of that, then go ahead and figure out what the main motion will be. So, Mr. Secretary, if you could please call the roll on the substitute motion, which states that the audit committee recommends that the IED immediately sign the engagement letter.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. Who was asking for the point of order?
Yeah, I don't know if it's point of order, but I have a quick comment.
Who's this?
Pete Tucker.
Okay, go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, I agree with what both Fred and Jose Luis are saying. I mean, Fred wants to move with all deliberate speed to get this done, and Jose Luis is saying someone else should sign it. I don't think we need to have a whole bunch of votes. The point is, there's a committee instructing you to move as fast as you can, whether it's your signature or the IEDs. We just want to move on this now. So I don't see a whole big disagreement. Just whoever it is that's got to sign this thing, we need to move on it.
You could also move to add language to the have a substitute or amend the substitute or amend the main motion to include either person. Pete, that's something that you can also do.
I don't want to do all that. I was just hoping to avoid a whole bunch of votes, but you can go for it.
It's up to the committee.
Okay, ready to vote? Okay, this is William Hairwagon, Secretary, and I'm calling the roll on Brenda just explained about the IED signing. Virginia Browning.
I guess I have to pass.
Okay. Jose Luis Fuentes.
Yes.
Thank you. Donald Goldmacher. And I don't think he's here. Chuck Anderson, I don't think is here, or unless he joined us. Fred Blair.
No.
Thank you. Brenda Medina. I'll leave you for last. I'm sorry. I should let you decide if you want to vote at the end. Sorry. Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
Maria Elena Castellanos. Maybe she's off on the other call. We'll try her again later after everybody else. Robert Mark.
Yes.
Nancy Saibara Naratomi.
Yes.
Carolyn Burden, have you joined us? I don't hear you. Stephen Brown. I don't hear you. William Hairwagon, I vote no. Frank LeFever.
Yes.
Okay. Jane Gatewood isn't here. Thomas Rainey is not here. Pete Tucker.
Yes.
Okay, going back. Virginia Browning, you passed.
Is this voting to have Brenda sign it?
No, this is voting for have the IED sign it.
Okay, so yes for me.
Okay.
Back on this call, I vote yes.
Brown votes yes. Okay. Chuck Anderson, have you joined us? No. And let's see. Maria Elena Castellanos, are you back on the call? Carolyn Burden, have you joined us? And that's it. I get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, no, I had somebody pass. Frank Lefevre.
Yeah, well, I voted yes.
Okay, thank you. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yes, and 2 no. And chair to you. Well, 8 yes, 2 no. And the
I'm not going to vote. And
thank you.
The committee. So, okay.
Thank you.
Great. So that now becomes the main motion. Is there anybody who would, is there, the substitute now becomes the main motion. Is there anybody that objects to, give me 1 second, is there anybody that objects to the main motion, or the substitute becoming the main motion?
Chair, could you read the motion?
Sure. So the audit committee recommends that the IEB immediately sign the audit engagement letter. Okay.
Chair, William for the stack, if there is such a thing at this point.
Okay. So, Lawrence, what's your point of order?
I believe that since we affirm the substitute, and we don't need to vote, it has the main motion. It supersedes the main motion in itself, I believe.
Yes, so the substitute becomes the main motion. That's correct. Mr. Reyes, but also folks, if they would like to change their vote or object to the main motion, they're more than welcome to. So,
I think you have to vote on the main motion.
Yeah. So,
just ask your question if anybody objects.
Yeah, does anybody object? Okay. Hearing none, going once, going twice. All right, so I'll make sure to communicate to the IED to immediately sign the engagement letter on behalf of the committee. Thanks, everyone. So we'll go back to the original stack of asking Mr. Lawrence some questions. I have William, Nancy, Robert, and then Lawrence. Is there anybody else that would like to be added to that particular stack? Okay. Hearing none, go ahead, William.
Thank you. I'm just confused that I heard Mr. Lamb say that usually the audit committees of corporations or nonprofits do it, and but sometimes other people might do it. So the audit committee just gave up on its responsibility, and I don't understand it, but good luck to all of us.
Okay, thanks, William. Nancy?
I'm not really sure I understand what William said. this audit committee was to have at least people with financial background on their on the committee, and it's kind of too late right now for us to do anything about that. And we are elected and we are in this position. However, we voted to do the recommendation of Armenino to centralize our services. And I'm regretting that I voted for that last, and it did pass. I'm regretting that we're giving up our oversight at the local level, and maybe Mr. Lamb has something to say about that, where to assure me that that is not happening, or doesn't have to be like that. We've had a lot of problems and at national office, and of course at the local level too. But I think that we need to find and enlist some CPAs to help us at the and be able to look at the financial documents at the local level. And so I'd like Mr. Lamb to comment.
Yeah, so is this question with respect to the centralized accounting at the local
yes.
offices?
Yes. Yes.
So I'm not privy to what was passed at the previous meeting. So maybe for my benefit, can you bring up the speed on what was discussed and what the plan is going forward with respect to centralized accounting?
Sure. So what happened at a previous meeting is that folks had there was a recommendation to centralize services in order to one, lower cost, and two, an apparent way to, or possibly to streamline some of the operating back and forth. And so it was recommended that that centralized services should be recommended to the national board for further inspection or potentially moving forward with that.
And what exactly will centralized accounting services consist of?
Well, in terms of...
Is that still in discovery phase?
It's still in the discovery phase to figure out, because it was a recommendation from our committee over to the national board, which then, in turn, I know that there was... in past years, there's been discussions about that, of what it would look like. So based on the recommendations that were in the management letter, it's my understanding from Nancy to kind of get your take or your opinion on that.
So my general thoughts on that is something needs to change with the accounting and finance function at Pacifica. And the key is to have technically competent, sound individuals handling the accounting and finance function at the local branches. But based on the results of our previous audits and discussions with management, interactions with individuals at the individual branches, we don't feel that all the branches had technically sound and savvy accounting and finance people. The controls were lacking in most of the stations. The accounting systems weren't operating effectively, so something needs to change. Either each station needs to bring in staff that are financially literate and competent in gap accounting, or the organization needs to centralize the accounting and limit it to a handful of individuals. I wasn't aware that the centralized accounting decision was passed. I can do a little more research and give you more of a thoughtful comment on how I would think that would operate at Pacifica. I work with many of the nonprofit organizations that have branches and offices all around the world, and some have local accounting offices, some have more of a centralized accounting process. Both of them have made it work. So I think I would need to work a little bit closely with management and the board to figure out what a centralized accounting system would look like and give you my thoughts on it. But something needs to change based on the results of our previous audits with the number of adjustments and the major and extent of our comments. Something needs to happen. Perhaps the centralized accounting is the right answer.
Great. Thank you, Brent. I have Robert from Lawrence. Robert, go ahead.
Robert?
Robert, Mark.
Yeah, here I am. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm assuming this is our entrance conference for the audit, and there's an issue that's come up repeatedly in the management letters for years, that that there is no proper division of function in the stations with regard to handling of donations and cash and checks. And 2 years ago, when that comment was there, I had a conference with our general manager in Houston and said, you've got to do something about this. And when I saw that comment in the 2013 audit, I was a little bit surprised that it was the same, that nothing had been done. And I confronted the general manager, and he said, well, we do a lot of things to divide the function on that. And he laid out a litany of what they do. And I said, well, then why did we still get the comment? And he said, because nobody ever asked. So I guess what I want to impress upon y'all is, if you're going to rewrite that comment, could you at least talk to the people at the local stations and ask them if they've done anything about it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, our process for discovering a comment is to speak with the individuals involved at the stations and make sure ensure that our comment is factually accurate. And it's a little bit more difficult to get everyone involved with statistics given the volume of individuals involved with the audit process. But we did send this letter through to management, several layers of management, and it was reviewed, and management did approve and verify the factual accuracy of it. It may not have been reviewed by the station manager, but we'll make a note for next year to follow up with each of the various branch managers.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Robert. Bob, go ahead.
Yes. So I also feel like Nancy that I'm going to rescind my support for the motion to centralized services. And a lot of it is due to the level of mismanagement that was in place 2 years ago in regards to the national office. So if it does happen to come up at the PNB, I'm going to rescind my support for it and vote no. So I wanted to ask you, Mr. Lamb, if you could answer this question. In regards to the units throughout the network, how prepared are they getting, or how prepared are they, if you could answer that question, sir?
With respect to 2014 audit?
Yes, sir.
The last that I've corresponded with Efren was about a month ago, and Efren was provided with a list of revenue and expense transactions that we needed from the station managers and branch managers to test, and the individual units were still compiling that information for us. I have not received an update from Efren since our last meeting about a month ago. So as of a month ago, the stations were not ready yet.
And do you know how far out they are in terms of being prepared to submit the information to your
friends? I'm not certain. Some stations may be more prepared than others. I haven't had an update check in with Efren, so I can check and get back to you.
Okay, that's good enough for me. Thank you, sir.
Great, thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to ask any questions to Mr. Lam? Okay.
Nancy has one question, yes. At KPFT in Houston, Texas, we have not had an in-person audit since perhaps 2009 for Ross Wisdom. Will there be an in-person audit for Houston Station KPFT? And if not, why? And can you comment?
I don't know yet. We would have to look at the magnitude of the transactions at KPFT with respect to the organization as a whole. If we feel there's heightened fraud risk or heightened risk of misstatement that would make sense for us to come on site, then we would. But we would have to evaluate the size of each station relative to the organization and evaluate what's the most effective process for coming on site.
And why did Armanino not go to Houston for the 2013 audit?
We felt that we were able to effectively audit the Houston activity from California. We did not feel a need to come on site physically to audit the transactions.
Okay. This is William for the stack.
Go ahead, William.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Mr. Lamb or someone else from Armanino explained this to us previously. I don't know if it was early this year or last year, that they don't normally go to the stations. Maybe not only when there's a problem. Maybe sometimes they plan for a certain thing, but it's usually when there's some kind of problem figuring out what's going on here, we better go down there. It's not, you don't need to be there, really, from an accounting, auditing perspective, because all the records are electronic, and if you need a copy of something, a physical document, you get it transmitted to you, or mailed to you even, if it's real old-fashioned. I don't see the constant need for the auditors to visit any particular location. Thanks.
Lawrence, to the stack again, if possible, Chair.
Go ahead.
Ideally, I would favor in-person audits, but the level of our financial crisis right now, that's an expense that I don't think we could afford. So that's just a comment I wanted to make.
That's another good point. There's a cost-benefit of us coming outside as well. So that would increase the cost of the audit. So unless the audit committee feels there's a strong need for us to come on site, and we certainly can go to any station the audit committee feels that we need to be on site for, but that will increase the cost of the audit. And by and large, last year we felt we were able to effectively perform our audit and get assurance on the branch activity by examining documents remotely. But again, part of this call is to solicit feedback from the audit committee regarding our audit plan and audit approach. So if there is a strong need for us to come on site to any particular location, let us know, and we can discuss the reasons for us needing to come on site, and we can plan that, incorporate that into our audit plan.
Great. Thanks, Dan. Is there anybody else? I know I had a comment to ask Mr. Lam. Anyone else? Okay. Hi, this is Brenda. Thank you again for being on the call to answer some of our questions. And I did have, oh goodness, I can hear some feedback. I did have a question in regards to once the schedules are ready, what's the approximate timeline that we could see of the audit being able to proceed? Like, do we see the FY14 audit potentially being done before the spring? Or what type of recommendations or potential timeline do you see in completing this audit?
Yeah, I mean, that's a difficult question for me to answer now without having a better understanding of where EFRA and the accounting team is at with preparing for the audit. When we met a month ago, he was feverishly working to reconcile the accounts and working with the branches to compile the information that we need. If everything truly is ready, the audit process, we should be able to complete within a two-week period. That's the best-case ideal scenario. But given our historical relationship with the organization, it generally has stretched over a number of months. So if you were to start the audit, let's say, in January of 2016, I would aim for completing it sometime in Q1 2016.
Okay. And then, for example, I know that the committee is favor in having the audit completed as soon as possible. So would it be possible that we could potentially check in? I'll be for sure checking in with Efren, but also having you on the call a couple months from now, or as soon as the materials are ready for Armenino to go in to start reviewing the schedules, would it be possible for you to come back on to them? Okay.
Sure, great. Absolutely. Just a recommendation, what would help Efren and his team with the process as well is defining where you want his focus to be. When I met with him, it sounded like he was being pulled in several different directions with preparing for the audit, answering various questions from board members, as having it provide and create schedules and reports for various members of the organization. It seemed as if most of his time was dedicated towards responding to emails and requests, and his bandwidth for preparing for the audit was limited. So if his role is defined and his priority is to focus on the audit, I think that would help improve the timeliness of the audit process.
Great. Thank you, Grant. Is there anybody else that would have any more questions? I know we've had Mr. Lam on for over an hour. I'm sure he has other things students listen up to our exciting call. So, if there's no other questions, anybody, and if so, you're on mute. So make sure you use #1 to unmute yourself. All right, going once, going twice. Thank you so much, Mr. Lam, for taking the time to be on the audit call. I'll definitely be in contact with you once we get closer to having all the schedules ready from all the stations.
Okay. Well, everyone has my contact information, so feel free to reach out to me if there's any other questions, and I will reach out to Efren to touch base on the audit planning as well. So thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll be dropping off
now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Thank you.
All right. So now that we completed the status of the audit, we're going to go ahead and move on to the next item of business, which is the approval of the minutes. Hi, can somebody join us? Okay. The approval of the minutes, we have three sets of minutes that would need to be approved. We have the August 25th minutes, September 14th, and September 22nd minutes.
Chair, may I be recognized?
Sure, go ahead.
So this is Lawrence. I move that we approve those sets of minutes, all three sets of minutes, henceforth, immediately.
Okay.
This is William for the stack.
Go ahead, William.
As the writer of these minutes, I just want to acknowledge to Maria Elena Castellanos that before it's, even if it gets approved tonight, I will correct the spelling of your name in one of those minutes before its final version goes out. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any objections to the approval of the three sets of minutes? Going once, going twice. If so, you're on mute. Then we'll go ahead and, without any objections, go ahead and approve the three sets of the audit committee minutes. Great. Thanks, folks. So the next set of business is, so now we're on to new business with the recommendations of the audit committee with regards to folks with financial background. Nancy, you recommended that item, so if you wanted to go ahead and motivate it or discuss it, you have the floor.
Okay. Nancy? Sorry?
Yep, go ahead.
Yes.
Okay. I understand that we're broke, and it's really good to have, you know, checking on both sides. But I do agree with Mr. Lamb. Something needs to change, and I think we need to do get the LSB Finance Committee at least, and the LSB more actively participating in the business. And being able to see financial documents. Maybe some stations do, but at some station like KPFT, we don't see things. Just the treasurer gets to see things. And it's very difficult for a PMB member to get an inspection. We only had one case where one was able to get something. So I think at all stations, I think we need to have more eyes on what's going on. And, of course, we're not all of us. I don't know. I don't have a financial background. But I think we can ask among our listeners or find some CPAs who may want to help us at a maybe discounted price or maybe on a volunteer basis to help us have some oversight at the local level.
Okay, great. Thank you. Just for clarity purposes, are you saying that folks should reach out to or having, we should be reaching out to folks with financial backgrounds to review financial information from each station?
Yes, at each station.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I think finance committees need to have a little bit more hand into the financial business. Anyway, the purpose is to have more eyes on what's going on, so that like what's holding up the audit. I mean, if there were more of the LSB and with some financial professional help, we wouldn't be at this point where we're waiting to get an audit started. Because I really don't know. I don't know what's going on at the other stations. I just, you know, it's like everybody else. I'm reading these emails and trying to guess, but that's not really good. But if we had more professional help, I think that was recommended by Mr. Lamb before.
Virginia to the stack.
Okay, go ahead, Virginia.
We had a good CPA here. In fact, he was on the KPSA board at one time, apparently. I think he would probably, for free, help with this kind of thing, and I was thinking of asking him. And that's why one of the reasons I asked the auditor what we're allowed to show to other people and what not, and what we're not allowed to. I'd like to show him as much as I could and ask for his help with these things.
Yeah, so in terms of, and this is Brenda again, the management letters are confidential, and so they should not be shared with even folks with financial backgrounds, unless, in fact, they were on the board, in which case folks are privy to have access to that information. The other thing is to make sure that we have a division between folks that are on the audit committee versus folks who are on the finance committee. But in terms of, like, for example, reviewing local P&L sheets, reviewing the budget versus the actuals or the audited actuals, that's something that, from my understanding, can potentially be, and correct me if I'm wrong, can potentially be shared with somebody that has a little bit more of financial knowledge. But the management letters themselves and the information that we get from Armenino is confidential.
Nancy, I'm stuck. Virginia, are you finished?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Nancy wants to speak. Is it okay?
Go ahead.
I already spoke before. Oh, okay. The paper that we signed for confidentiality, do you think we could make some kind of motion where people like professional people who are not board members but could if we're willing to sign that thing of confidentiality, then it would be acceptable. I mean, if we got the PNB to pass that. I mean, is it really necessary for the financial person to see the management letters and the report from the Armanino, or I guess it would be, it'd be better if they could see it. Or can they do a good checking up without having to see the audit?
Okay, so
Robert Stack.
Go ahead, Robert. Go ahead.
Yeah, Nancy's first point is well taken. There's nothing that says that a board or its committees cannot hire a fiduciary to provide consulting services. It would seem to me pro forma they would sign the confidentiality agreement, which their profession actually mandates them to keep the information in such capacity confidential, so it's kind of duplicitous. But we certainly could engage the services of somebody. I mean, we do it with lawyers all the time. The lawyers are privy to our confidential discussions about litigation all the time. So there would be nothing that would bar an outside fiduciary from consulting with the LFPs or the national board because of the confidential things. They would just need to be formally engaged in some written way that would allow their canons of ethics to apply to their service to us.
Point well taken, Robert.
William, a sec.
Okay, go ahead, William.
Okay, thank you. Tell me if I am misunderstood what this discussion was about. I thought it was about a suggestion that members of the audit committee itself have financial backgrounds. Was that what was the original talking or an agenda setting time?
That is, give me one second.
Because we don't have money to go hiring people.
The committee members
themselves should know, should have some financial experience or background.
Yes, that's correct. So from what I have of the new business, of the recommendations of the audit committee having people with financial background.
Thank you.
Okay. So in response to Mr. Mark's comments, I mean, that's well taken, but as we've seen in the past, we have to be sure that folks maintain confidential information just that, but also is that ensure having the understanding with anybody with professional experience is that we can't pay them. They have to do it on a pro bono basis. And then if folks would like to entertain a motion to move to the national board for approval on having something like that possible, that definitely can be entertained in this committee.
Fred to the stack.
Fred, go ahead.
Yeah. What I'd like to say is, yes, the things that are confidential are like the deficiencies in our financial controls. But all our public, all the information about our finances, income and expenses and so forth, are public. And they are made public through the audit, the yearly audit. So that information should be available to the public at all times. And
okay, yeah.
And in all the recommendations I'm seeing to audit committees is that members should have financial backgrounds, but it's obvious that the membership of this committee, almost none of us have any kind of a financial background. And the committee should hire people, if we need consultants with specific financial expertise, that we should hire those people. I'm well aware that we don't have, at this time, we don't have the money for that. But, you know, it's what, this is what's prevailed within Pacifica for a long time. And that probably goes for people on the finance committee too. That's all I have to say.
Good, thank you.
Will you, if I could get back on?
William, go ahead.
Yeah, that may be part of Pacifica's problem. We have people who don't understand what they have purview over doing a job that they don't understand. If you don't understand accounting, you really shouldn't be on either the finance or the audit committee. So the question is, for our discussion this evening was supposed to be, which I just asked a couple minutes ago, is should the people on the audit committee have some kind of financial background? So I don't know how we're going to define what a financial background is, but that's what we're supposed to be discussing. We're not supposed to be discussing getting friends, relatives, or hire somebody to come in and do our work for us. We're supposed to be able to understand it ourselves. Thank you.